Welcome to Celebrity Book Club,
the podcast where we read the memoirs of pop culture icons so you don't have to.
I'm Carrie.
And I'm Kara. And today we're talking about The Last Black Unicorn by Tiffany Haddish.
She is ready!
She ready.
Have you ever seen the video of Tiffany Haddish on a red carpet saying she ready and the white woman reporter interviewing her and then just going, she is ready.
Oh no.
I will send it to you during the research break because it is maybe my favorite thing. It's so awful and terrible. And I guess it's better than like this woman sort of like adopting and appropriating her phrase, but like,
sure. But it's also embarrassing.
It's also so embarrassing. She is ready.
The last chapter of this book is called She Ready.
Of course. I honestly am surprised that wasn't the title of the book.
Oh, it should be. No, the title of the book is The Last Black Unicorn. So called because when she was a kid, she had a wart on her forehead that would grow in a way where it sort of like stuck out like a horn. And so kids teased her and they were like, you ugly ass unicorn. And her grandmother was like, no, that's just a wart. Like, we'll figure it out. So she got it taken off.
I love that so much.
But then she sort of reclaimed the unicorn. She was like, I am going to be a unicorn. I'm going to be beautiful and amazing and magical. So
that's awesome. I really love that.
Yeah.
Kids are really mean, but also kids are really funny. Like,
kids are so funny.
Like, calling somebody an ugly ass unicorn is hilarious.
It is funny. Especially because it's like, you're like kind of complimenting them.
Yeah.
At the same time that you're making fun of them. I don't know.
Funny. I mean, it's not great. Like, and I hope that, she's fine. Tiffany Haddish is doing fine.
Doing great. Yeah.
But that's really funny. But like, kids are mean, but you have to appreciate the comedy of it all. It's lately a lot of episodes have been talking about like parenting, but if I have children and a kid makes fun of them and that other kid's joke is funny, I'm going to be like, listen, you can be upset for a minute, but then you have to appreciate how funny this is.
You have to admit what a good burn that is.
Like, what a terrible parent I will be.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think it's good to like, it puts things in perspective for your kid, right?
Yeah.
To be like, yes, this did hurt you and like it did have an impact, but then you're able to like take a step back from it and be like,
that was pretty funny, right? Worse is like if my child is a bully and then I find out that they said something really funny and like a parent comes to talk to me and I'm like, listen, she's just working on her chops. She's just honing her comedy.
Her tight five, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just a tight five on why your kid sucks.
That's honestly my dream, is to have a bully child. But like, not in a like really bad way.
Of course it is. In Kara's adult metamorphosis to become everything she wasn't when she was 0 to 22, she's she wants her brand to be like creating an army of mean minions. You like have really had a supervillain transformation as you got older.
My origin story is picking terrible friends except you until I was 23.
It's okay. Same. Kara, please describe to me the plot of The Last Black Unicorn in 60 seconds or less. Your time starts now.
The Last Black Unicorn talks about Tiffany Haddish's unstable home life with her schizophrenic mother, whose inability to raise her kids made Tiffany have to step up to help raise her siblings at a pretty young age. This led to her falling behind in school, and she wasn't able to really read until high school. Her grandmother was around a lot, but wasn't as helpful as she could have been. And when she was 13, she entered the foster system. And that was kind of when she realized that if she was funny and was able to use like humor and comedy, people would want to keep her around and they wouldn't beat her up. So after realizing that, it talks about her early comedy adventures. She was like a hype man at bar mitzvahs during high school. She went to the Laugh Factory summer camp and worked with people like Richard Pryor. She talks about lots of her misadventures in dating, and some of which are a little more than misadventures. They're kind of like dangerous situations with her ex-husband, #ACAB, and her return to comedy and how it started to heal her mentally and physically, and what she's learned after being a little bit famous and what she wants to do next.
Amazing. Whew. Absolutely great job, Kara. That sounds fascinating. Here are a few takeaways. One, my dream job, and I didn't know it until this moment, was being a hype person at bat mitzvahs. I think I would be really great at it as like the starter comedian for a bat mitzvah.
You actually would, I think.
Like, I think I would. It would be a perfect job for me. I love the Jewish culture.
Culturally, it's great.
And I am funny for 13-year-olds and 14-year-olds. Really not much after that. Like, it wears on you.
The parents might not like it as much, but the kids will love it.
The number of fart jokes in my arsenal that I don't get to use regularly, happy to bring them up. The other thing, she didn't learn how to read until she was in high school.
Correct. And I read that and I was like, I can't wait to tell Carrie about this.
Yeah. So listeners, I am a reading teacher in my real life. And for a long time, I taught high school reading in particular. So that's really wonderful. Does she talk about her teacher at all?
She does. It was her drama teacher in high school. She signed up for drama because this guy that she liked was in drama. And she was like, oh, he was like one of the only other Black kids at her school. So she was like,
sure.
The school is racist. So we would have to do a scene together and I would get to kiss him. So that's why she signed up for drama class.
Brilliant. Love and respect that choice, Tiffany Haddish.
Right? She really goes for it. And I respect that about her. But so the teacher did not assign her a scene with the guy that she was into. She assigned her a scene with someone else. And she was like, they would rehearse this. She was like, by this point, I had figured out a lot of ways to get around the fact that I didn't know how to read.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Kids are really, really good at avoiding their reading disabilities.
Yeah. And she was like, I would have people like read out loud to me and be like, oh, you're so like, I just love hearing you read out loud to me.
Yep.
Like, I understand it better when you explain it to me. And she would like memorize, she would like study, quote unquote. But she would just like memorize the information, like hearing someone say it to her.
Yeah.
She would not copy off of people's tests, but like with multiple choice, it was easy to like glance over and like figure out.
Yeah.
You know what was going on.
Yeah. There's no judgment in how someone goes about dealing with like difficulties in reading.
No.
That's so funny that you say the thing about listening, because I think of it a lot like how bats can't see, so their ears are really good.
Yes.
And that is true of struggling readers. Guys, not a podcast, but if you ever want me to talk at length about struggling adolescent readers, I will. Oh my God. I want to read that chapter in particular.
It's great. It's at the very beginning, so.
I'm sure it's not the guess that chapter of this week, but for my personal life, we can do that one offline for me at some point.
Love it. But long story short, her teacher realized that she wanted to do a scene with this guy that she liked, so she gave her a scene and was like, here, read this scene. And so finally, Tiffany had to admit that she didn't know how to read, and her teacher was like, okay, not a big deal. Like, you're not the first student I've had who can't read. So she taught her, and she was old enough by this point that like once someone like sat her down for a day or two and like explained, and like spelled out like phonetically, like these are different words, different sounds. She was like, I still wasn't like where I should have been. And she was like, but once someone actually just like saw and acknowledged what I needed and gave me that information, she was like, I learned very, very quickly.
Fun fact, that's because it seems like she only had trouble with decoding and not trouble with comprehension. If you want more, listen to The Reading Beat, a podcast I made up and will never produce.
But yeah, I thought that was nice. And I thought that was when the book started with this, I was like, oh, hell yeah. I was like, Carrie's going to be way into this.
Yeah, that's so awesome. That makes me like her even more.
Mm-hmm.
And holy shit, that drama teacher must have a lot of good feelings.
Oh, for sure. And I forgot about this because I read the first chapter of this like 2 weeks ago and I read the rest of it yesterday in line waiting to vote. Once she learned how to read, she was like participating in all these like drama festivals and would go and like compete and everything. And she would do these like Shakespearean monologue competitions and everything. And so that was how she started applying to like different colleges and stuff.
Tiffany Haddish, I like her even more now. I'm all in.
The goat.
Oh, a thing that you just mentioned, waiting in line to go vote. This episode comes out on election day. So if you are listening to it on the day that it comes out, please vote if you haven't already. If you're listening to it afterwards,
I hope you voted.
Hope you voted.
And if you didn't, you can stop listening to this podcast now.
Yeah, we're a podcast for voters only.
Yeah, sorry. Carrie, other than what I just spewed in my book in 60 seconds, what do you know about Tiffany Haddish?
Okay, things I know about Tiffany Haddish. Number one, my favorite anecdote of she ready, she is ready is perfection. Number two, I think I first came to know Tiffany Haddish like most of the modern viewing public through the film Girls Trip, of which she is wonderful in. She's really, really good. I have seen that once. It like, she's very, very funny in it. It's not necessarily my favorite movie of all time, but she is fantastic in it. And like, you can tell that there's a presence and that she just, you don't want to look away from her when she's on screen.
Absolutely.
I feel like Tiffany Haddish within like a 6 month window was everywhere after that.
Agreed.
Like she had been booked and busy and was waiting for her breakout moment, and Girls Trip came out, and then suddenly all these other things came to fruition, which is really great. Other things I know about her are she has a great stand-up bit where she talks about meeting Beyonce, and then Beyonce put a line in her song about NDAs or something. I don't quite remember the full anecdote, but like Tiffany Haddish definitely said something she wasn't supposed to say in public about Beyonce. And I love the messiness of that.
Mm-hmm.
I have this like very visceral connection to someone is like thrown into the world of celebrity and they just want to talk about all of it. And I see myself very much falling into those patterns should I ever interact with celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I have watched the most with Tiffany Haddish is I've seen the first two seasons of The Last OG. It's the originally on TBS, but all the episodes are on Netflix, which is how I watched it. Show that stars Tracy Morgan and Tiffany Haddish, and she's so good in it. And it's
so good.
It was so possible for her early to get pigeonholed into doing just one thing. And I think that that role really lets her do a lot of different things. I think it's also a really great Tracy Morgan performance. It's a show that I don't think to put on, but then once it's on, I watch every episode that's available.
Yes, I completely agree. That's pretty much my exact knowledge and understanding of her. Saw her in Girls Trip first and then watched The Last OG when that came out. And in a similar way, it's not something that's like in the forefront of my mind, but when it comes up on the like, you may like for Netflix, I'm like, oh fuck, I forgot about this show. And I put it on and then I watch it all day.
Yeah.
It's very watchable. It's very like digestible. And it's, I think, a good mix of like funny and heartfelt or like honest.
Yeah, there's an honesty there. It's a comedy that's trying to say something,
yeah,
but also is very comfortable just being a comedy sometimes.
Yes.
And I don't know. I think it's really interesting. And it's the kind of show that I'm like, I don't know that this would have gotten made 10 years ago. So I'm really glad that it exists right now and probably wouldn't have gotten made without both Tiffany Haddish and Tracy Morgan attached to it. Like you need those two names to bring about like a story that is both kind of small, but is saying a whole lot. Like it's a very insular show that I don't think would have found an audience without stars attached to it. And I'm so glad that it did, because I just think it's like a story that's worth being told.
Absolutely. 100%.
Oh, watch The Last OG, everybody.
Yes. This isn't now a Last OG appreciation podcast.
We haven't been a random television show appreciation pod in a minute, so here we are.
Please enjoy. Should we play a game, Carrie?
I would love to play a game.
Excellent. Well, I think you and I both know what this is. Listeners, you know too. It's time to play Guess That Chapter. We love an air horn moment.
We love an air horn moment.
Tiffany Haddish's book is 276 pages, but we don't have time to cover the entire thing. So like we do here on Celebrity Book Club, we pick one iconic chapter that we will discuss. I'm going to give you some important settings and characters. The setting on this, I'm a little unsure of.
Great.
But we'll figure it out.
You know, I don't ever bother with the setting, so you at least attempt.
And let's try to figure out what I'm going to be talking about today.
Great. I'm so excited.
So the folks involved are Tiffany Haddish, Will Smith, and Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yes.
Queen Latifah.
Oh my God.
Hannibal Buress.
Okay, great.
Lil Rel Howery.
Great.
And Mary J. Blige.
Don't want no hateration, holleration in this dancery?
Yes.
Okay.
The setting is either New Orleans or LA. I'm a little unclear. Well, actually, no, you know what? It's New Orleans and LA.
Okay, so I think it has to have some kind of connection to Girls Trip if we are dealing with Jada and New Orleans. That feels likely to me. So maybe this is her breakout moment, which I will be fascinated by. And that's what I'm hoping for. I hope that, I'm doubtful, but I hope that we get at least some sense of the Will and Jada relationship and how complicated this is. I hope that Red Table Talk comes up. I'm just hoping for a lot of things.
Well, you're going to get a lot of your wishes because you are correct. This is a chapter that occurs during the filming of Girls Trip.
Great.
And there is some fun Will and Jada tidbits. So
great. I can't wait to parse that together with my entire knowledge of Will and Jada's relationship and all the Red Table Talk clips to come up with a brand new conspiracy by the end of this episode.
We love a conspiracy.
We love two things: conspiracies, air horns,
and TV.
I suppose.
I guess.
But it's definitely number three after the air horns.
So let me paint you a word picture.
Please do.
So at this point, this does take place during her, what I guess would be her breakout role. Although she did have a pretty significant amount of success before that with some stand-up specials and was very well known in the comedy community, especially.
Yeah, she's a comic first and foremost. Yeah.
Correct. And has been for a very long time. She would take the bus like 2 hours to go to a comedy camp at the Laugh Factory when she was in high school.
Yeah, you mentioned that. That's awesome. Do you want to know a fun fact about the Laugh Factory?
I do.
Jodie Sweetin of last week's episode. Jodie Sweetin once went with Bob Saget when she was a child. And he sat her up on the speaker at the Laugh Factory and he told obscene jokes and she just pretend laughed at them. Like she didn't get it, but like that was the bit, is that he was doing obscene things while a child was there. And we wonder why she was so fucked up. Like
that's kind of, that's interesting, Bob Saget.
And the night that her first husband found out about her meth use, she had been high with a bunch of girlfriends at the Laugh Factory. And then they went to drive somewhere else and she felt uncomfortable. So she just jumped out of the car. I'll find a way to talk about Jodie Sweetin in every podcast until the end of time. I'm so sorry.
No, you're fine. My favorite thing is when little moments like reoccur, like week to week.
Yes.
Something that she talks about in this book is how she goes on this cruise with her then boyfriend, her like very on again, off again boyfriend in her early 20s. She goes on this cruise with her aunt and her shitty boyfriend tags along, and they're on this miserable cruise the week of 9/11.
So she's on this cruise. Mariah Carey is at a spa.
Uh-huh. I know. At this point, Tiffany Haddish is pretty well known in the comedy circles and is sort of has booked some smaller movie and TV roles and is now trying to get a larger audience for herself.
Yeah.
So she is in New Orleans filming Girls Trip.
Great.
She goes out to dinner with Jada Pinkett Smith, who it seems has sort of like taken Tiffany under her wing.
I fully believe that. Everything about Jada just kind of seems great. And I know that she's complicated and messy, but like she tries to take care of people in a way that feels really genuine. Like not to, this is a Red Table Talk appreciation podcast now, but like she gets people in moments where they're really vulnerable and she talks to them about it. And it's done in such a caring, loving way. And I really appreciate Jada as a person.
And it seems like she talks in...
Jada, who's from Baltimore. Sorry, we should.
Yes, which is mentioned in this book. Tiffany Haddish talks about her in this chapter that we're talking about, but then also in a later chapter about how Jada Pinkett Smith sort of is like her, this is my phrase, not hers, is sort of like her Hollywood fairy godmother.
Oh, I love that.
In terms of being like, you know, like Tiffany, like you're famous, like you... The sentence I'm about to say sounds like shitty and judgmental, but she didn't mean it this way. She's like, you're famous now. You can't be like posting on Instagram that you're wearing like an $85 dress from Marshalls, you know, like.
I get why it sounds shitty, but I also like understand. It's
not her being like, you need to fix yourself. It's her being like, people are looking at you she's like teaching her how to play the Hollywood game, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And sort of like that there are different standards for her than other people in Hollywood too. And I think that that's like an important thing to acknowledge. And
she literally says to her at one point, she's like, you can't be walking outside of your house without like eyelashes and lipstick on. She's like, you can't go to the store in sweatpants anymore. Like,
you know, what's so interesting about that though, is it's been coming up a lot in my life recently, but the different generations and sort of where they fall on code switching and changing their culture and presentability and sort of how they behave in different situations. Mm-hmm. And it seems like Tiffany Haddish is sort of on the border of this, like, doesn't necessarily want to do it, but Jada Pinkett Smith comes from a very different time where you really had to do it.
Yes. Because she's like, Jada Pinkett Smith is like 10-ish years older than Tiffany Haddish is.
But I think about like Cardi. Cardi does whatever she wants and does not really care who sees her and what she does. And I don't think would really buy into sort of the same ideas. Like if Jada Pinkett Smith sat her down and had those conversations, Cardi would be like, nah.
This is dumb. Like, I'm going to do it.
No, like, I mean, side note, just a fun anecdote about Cardi B that I don't know why this needs to be in here, but Cardi B's cousin is in kindergarten at one of the schools that I work in or was 2 years ago now. And these little kindergartners were bullying her because they didn't believe that Cardi was her cousin. So Cardi came to pick her up from school one day. It was incredible. It was great. Oh my God. So many of my staff left their positions to
go see Cardi
and go get selfies with Cardi. It was great. But she just showed up to pick up her cousin so that all those kids would see her. And it was fantastic.
What a flex. I love that. Yeah.
But like, she looked a mess. Like her wig was pulled back. Like it wasn't, she didn't care how she presented herself.
Right. She was like, I'm a person.
Yes. Which I think is interesting. And I think that like you can see with Tiffany Haddish, but like also Tiffany Haddish's comedy would be considered lowbrow.
Yeah.
So she has to, and I think Jada Pinkett Smith is getting at like, she has to push herself into a different category if she wants some people to see her differently.
Right. Or to like, quote unquote, take her seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. Because of the type of comedy she does, it can so quickly be belittled and made small.
And a lot of people throughout her life in this book, like, tell her that. They're like, Tiffany, you're a pretty girl. Like, you don't need to be, you know, up there telling fart jokes. Like, even like Richard Pryor in that comedy camp she goes to at the Laugh Factory. is like, you're pretty, like, why are you up here like swearing and like talking about your ass and like all this stuff? He was like, you can do a different type of comedy. And she's like, this is the type of comedy that I do.
Fuck yeah. I love Tiffany Haddish. By the end of this episode, I'm going to be like even more of a fan. I'm so excited. Keep going. I really derailed us.
You're fine. So all that to say, she's out to dinner with her Hollywood godmother, Jada Pinkett Smith, and Will Smith is visiting and comes with them. And so she's like, she and Jada are like friends now. So it's like normal to be hanging out with Jada, but it's abnormal to be hanging out with Will also. And so they have the day off the next day and they're like, Tiffany, what are you doing on the day off? Will and I were thinking about like getting a massage or like blah, 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 blah. And Tiffany was like, oh, I got a Groupon for a swamp tour. Watching your face when I said that was incredible.
I feel such a connection to her. I can so easily see in particular, not sure how usable this is, but like in particular in my single years when I was living in Baltimore, I had two best friends who were a couple that I would go do things with all the time. And they would like ask me what I was doing. And it wasn't ever Groupon for a swamp tour, but that's really on brand. Like, that's like we went to a dance club once and I wore Crocs and socks, which now back in fashion.
Yes, agree.
Very cool. Have been sending pictures of my students to my friend to show her like this happens now.
Crocs are cool. I will say for everyone listening to the pod, Carrie has always loved Crocs.
Since way before it was cool.
She has been a Crocs
stan. Crocologist.
And we used to make fun of her for it.
Well, I don't ever, I don't ever buy the classic Croc. I found like a great Mickey Mouse Croc loafer. So you get the comfort of a Croc, but the fashion of another shoe.
The fashion of a Mickey Mouse loafer.
Coming soon, my podcast about Crocs. Get ready.
Anyway, so Tiffany had a
swamp tour. Swamp tour.
It's like, I have a Groupon for a swamp tour. Jada's like, oh, can we come with you? And Tiffany's like, sure. Like thinking like,
thinking of course they'll bail. Their plan was to go get massages.
Right. They were going to do
some massage swamp tour. Massage swamp tour.
They were going to do some bougie thing. And so the next day she wakes up, she gets high and she's like, oh, this is going to be dope. I'm going to be in the swamp. The alligators are going to be like talking to me. It's going to be amazing. Then like an hour before she's supposed to leave, Jada calls her and is like, hey, are you still going? We do want to come. And Tiffany's like, fuck. So they're like, we'll come get you. And she's like, no, it's fine. I'll come pick you up. So she's like eating and like drinking water and like trying to sober herself
trying
up.
Trying to like, she really should have used Jonathan Van Ness's trick of a full cheeseburger and a gallon of milk.
She did not. She was just eating whatever was in her hotel room. But so she goes to pick them up and she's like, okay, like you can't be the person who kills Will Smith. So you have to like get it together and like, you know, while you're driving. Will and Jada get in the car and they've been in New Orleans filming for a while. So she just has this like regular ass rental car that she's been driving.
Sure.
She was like, Will and Jada get in. And they're like, oh, this is the first time I've been in like a real car in a long time. That wasn't like a black car, like limousine.
Of course, because they're so fancy. Like Will Smith is one of the biggest movie stars of all time.
Of all time. And she was like, Jada, you're from Baltimore. Like, quit pretending like you're bougie and like too bougie to be in this car. She goes, bitch, yes. Aren't you from Baltimore? Like, she says that in there.
All I want in my life is someone to say, bitch, aren't you from Baltimore?
And so she was like, you know, clearly we were operating on like two different levels
of fame. Like they just are not moving in the same circle. This was, for Will and Jada, it seems like this was like an adventure in
like roughing it, kind of
what the little people do.
Exactly. And like there is a little bit of that tone throughout, but like she never portrays it that way. That was just like what I was putting on it as I was reading it. I was like, oh, come on, guys.
Yeah, I don't think it sounds like they're doing that on purpose, but if you are the person of lower status, you are inherently like seeing all those differences in a way that like Will and Jada probably noticed it was different than their typical day, but there probably wasn't as much judgment on it as, you know, Tiffany Haddish felt in the moment.
Of course. And she was like, she never felt like these rich people are being shitty, but it was just like, oh, these rich people in my car, like, haha, how funny is it that they are like so thrilled by me in my stupid little rental car?
So Will Smith hasn't been driven by anyone other than like a professional driver in years. And instead, high-ass Tiffany Haddish is driving him around right now.
Yes, is driving him around the swamp place. Exactly. So they get to the swamp place and they like see the boat where people are getting on. And Jada's like, Tiffany, where's your boat?
She thought it was a private thing. She said it was a Groupon, though. She told them. They didn't know what a Groupon was, probably. Oh my God.
Nope.
Oh my God. I've never heard of Groupon.
Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith do not know what Groupon is.
Will Smith, the Smiths don't fuck with Groupon.
So.
Oh my God. You picked a perfect chapter.
Thank you.
This is incredible.
So Tiffany's like, you think I own a boat? She was like, you look at my car. She was like, I don't understand. Like, what do you think a Groupon is? And Jada was like, I don't know. I thought you like rented a boat for the day. And Tiffany was like, haha, hilarious. So Jada then starts kind of like freaking out. And she's like,
yeah,
Will, I don't know if this is like safe for you. Yeah. She was like, I can probably be fine if I like wear a hat and like sunglasses. She's like, but Will, you are too famous. Like, you cannot be on this thing. Not in like a shitty way, just in like a, I'm worried for your safety.
No. She is genuinely worried about his safety.
Yes. And they, 'cause they didn't have any like security with them. Like they were just like hanging out on their day off.
This story is so good.
So Tiffany like goes to get the tickets, comes back, and Will has like talked her into, he like wants to go. He was like, we came all the way out here. Like, let's just fucking do it. Like, it'll be, it's like 2 hours. It's not a big deal. Like, let's just do it. Well, they go on the boat. They're of course almost instantly recognized.
Yeah, Will Smith is there.
And he apparently was like very cool, very chill. He was like, this is not the Will Smith tour. This is the Swamp tour. So let's just all like be chill. And then like maybe later if you want, like we can take pictures.
I love everything about this story. Like,
I know.
And these just random ass visitors to Louisiana that bought a Groupon that day just got on a boat and Will Smith showed up.
Yeah.
That's the thing I'm going to look up is I'm going to try and search for like a firsthand account from like a tourist at this thing.
That was like Instagram of Swampers.
Yes.
Oh my God. But yeah, she was like, it was one of those first experiences I had of seeing like what that level of fame is like.
Yeah.
From like the other side. She was like, and even though we were just like his accessories that day, you know, like she's like, it was interesting to see what real fame was.
Well, it's such a different level. He has to think about every choice in his life.
Yeah.
He cannot buy a Groupon.
Exactly. And he was like, at the end of the day, that was like so fun. He was like, I'm glad we went. Thank you for taking us with you. So I thought that was a very fun story. At the end of this chapter, there's another story that talks about her sort of not lack of awareness of fame, but just how the way that she deals with it is different from other people.
Yeah.
And that story, I think this is the thing where I was unclear on the location. I'm not sure if it's in New Orleans or if it's back in LA because she's still with a lot of the Girls Trip people. But I think part of Girls Trip was filmed in LA. I'm not really sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right.
But I think in the movie, they're from Atlanta and I feel like it was filmed in LA. I can't remember. Anyway.
I can't imagine that they would have, if they could avoid filming in LA, they would have for the tax break purposes of it all.
Right. And I feel like at the beginning of the movie, they're like in Atlanta.
I think you're right.
But anyway, they are, she's with all the Girls Trip folks, and Queen Latifah invites her to a party at her house.
I forgot that Queen Latifah was in this chapter. There were so many other names that I really did forget, and I'm so excited.
We're about to hit all of them. So she goes to a party at Queen Latifah's house. She's pretty good friends with Hannibal Buress and Laurel Howery. And so
that makes sense, the like comic scene.
Absolutely. And so they all show up together. They're like partying. They're having a really good time. She is at a level now where she's like still the same. It happens around the same time. So she's still known in the comedy world, but isn't like super famous, but like famous people know her.
Yeah, sure.
So hence she's at Queen Latifah's house and she's like chilling, having a good time, like getting a little turnt, getting a little rowdy. And she sees Mary J. Blige in the pool. And she's like, holy shit, that's fucking Mary J. Blige. Just chilling in a pool. And no one was talking to her. And she's like, fuck, I'm going to go talk to Mary J. Blige. So she goes over and she's like talking to her. And at first, Mary J. Blige is kind of like cagey and like weird. But then she's like, I'm sorry. I forget Queen Latifah's real name. It's like Dina. Anyway, she's like, are you one of Queen Latifah's friends? And she's like, oh, yeah, I'm about to be a model for Big Lots. And is like making some joke about her ass and everything and like all this stuff. And she and Mary J. Blige really hit it off. And they're just like goofing around in the pool, having a great time. Tiffany is like very drunk. She later like stumbles into the house and she's like, I didn't pass out. I fell asleep. And she's like, you know, Hannibal Buress and Laurel were like, you know, messing with her and like drawing on her face and stuff.
Sure.
She was sort of just like, oh, I had a great time at this party with Mary J. Blige. Not a big deal, whatever. Like she shows up to work the next day and Jada is like, you were a little like messy at that party. And Tiffany's like, I was just having a good time. Like, get off my dick. Like, it's not that deep. Like, calm down.
Sure.
And she starts to like doubt herself. And she's like, was I too whatever? Like, do I need to have some sort of level of professionalism at these things now?
Every single social event I've ever gone to, I worry that someone is going to be my Jada Pinkett Smith and come up to me and be like, you were too messy at that. Every social interaction I have, I'm worried that I'm too messy.
Well, then she gets super validated in the other way because Queen Latifah's security calls her and is like, Mary J. Blige wants to hang out with you. Because they hit it off so well at this party. They were like, she's going through a divorce. Like, not a lot of people.
This security guard just like, her security team just like tells her whole business. Love this.
I guess. She's like, she's going through a divorce. Like, not a lot of people feel comfortable just like coming up to talk to her. She's like, and she really hit it off with you. Is glad that you were just like yourself and like chill and honest. And like, wants to know if you want to hang out sometime. Like, basically called for like asking for a play date.
Oh my God. Stay messy, Tiffany Haddish. You know, that inspires me. Stay messy. That's it. That's the energy I'm taking into the rest of this year. And the future years to come.
I love it. And she's like, if you had told me 20 years ago that Mary J. Blige would be calling to hang out with me and that I would have to be like, sorry, I can't, I'm too busy. She's like, I would have died.
That's amazing.
But then she was like, but for real, like next time you're in LA, like let me know. I do want to hang out with you.
Here's what I'm worried about my girl Tiffany Haddish is that she put her divorce and stuff out there. Like Mary J. Blige isn't going to hang out with her anymore. This is the thing with Tiffany Haddish is she makes choices that it's like, sometimes they work, sometimes they really don't. But it seems like she's really comfortable with that and sort of owns it and isn't beating herself up, which that is something that I can't relate to, but would love to be able to.
Well, also, and I mean, not to like, you know, sort of take a turn here for the dark, but like her childhood was awful.
Yeah.
And I think there's probably an aspect of her that's like, I made a faux pas at a party. Like who fucking cares?
It doesn't matter compared to all the other things that she's been through and sort of pushed herself through. And it's really interesting because you mentioned in your book in 60 Seconds that she uses comedy to make friends and protect herself. And it makes so much sense to me that she just goes, talks to a random person, like instead of getting nervous, or probably in moments where she does feel nervous, her comedy becomes that much tighter, more on point because she's used it as a coping strategy for so long.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And it's very, not to be like, but it's like very inspiring in a lot of ways.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think like very insightful too, for her to recognize, like, I mean, she literally talks about this time where she was like in a group home and it's like, these girls who were bigger than me were like, okay, like you're the youngest, like we're going to beat up on you tonight. And her starting to like make fun of them in like a funny way to like get them to laugh so they would leave her alone.
Yeah.
And she was like, at the end of it, they were like, we're still going to beat your ass, but you're pretty funny. Like you can hang out with us.
Love it. Love it. But like, that's so great that she found this thing that really helped her and then just kept developing it. Like I think for her to know how important being funny is to who she, to like how she sees herself is really cool.
And I think a big part of that is also something that happened in her early 20s. She was like on again, off again with that terrible boyfriend she went on the cruise with. And she found out that he was cheating on her, but like couldn't like prove it and was staying in the relationship because she thought it was, you know, because she thought it was what she deserved.
Why people stay in shitty relationships.
Mm-hmm. And she was starting to have all of these like health problems. Like she was bleeding a lot. She was getting headaches. She would like pass out all the time, having all these like weird health problems. She went to the doctor and they were like, nothing's like wrong with you. Like we can't figure out what's wrong with you. And so sort of randomly at the same time that all this was happening, she picked up like a small comedy show again. And she was like, after I had done like two or three like small comedy gigs, all of my health problems stopped. She was like,
wow.
It was such a psychosomatic thing. She was in this place of such stress and distress. And
comedy is this thing that has regularly saved her. So it's just like inextricably linked to who she is. That's fascinating.
Yeah. I thought that was very, very cool. And also interesting for me personally, because I've been going through some crazy physical symptoms of my anxiety lately.
Mm.
And I was like, how bananas is it that when you think you're dying, like your mind and your body is in control, your actions control all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Should we do some research?
Let us.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more Celebrity Book Club.
Did you or a loved one see the video of the giant baby on Twitter? If so, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Email celebritybookpod@gmail.com to receive your free information packet.
Can I tell you about what I looked up?
Please.
All right. So as I mentioned in my About the Author segment, there is this NDA drama with Tiffany Haddish and Beyonce, and I forgot the details of it. And it does make me feel like less of a person in the know about culture. But I looked it up and now I remember all of this. And it is without a doubt one of the best stories of all time.
Please tell me.
So it's several parts. One of the stories is Tiffany Haddish talked about meeting Beyonce for the first time. And she talks about how there was another woman there and that woman was touching Jay-Z's chest and Beyonce like cut it and stopped it. And so that like set
seems like an airing of personal business.
Yeah. It seems like also I would be pissed about that. I do.
Sure. I do understand that.
I understand, but also I would tell everyone that everything that Tiffany Haddish does in this story, and it sounds like in Tiffany Haddish's life, granted her life has been a lot harder than mine, but her impulse control when it comes to social interaction feels very similar to mine.
I would agree.
Of just like, I have to tell you this.
Yes.
This is not a story that should be publicly shared, but I can't help myself.
Because these are people who she like, you know, like us, she grew up listening to Mary J. Blige. She grew up listening to Beyonce. She grew up watching Arsenio. So when she meets and interacts with these people, it's like, oh shit.
The other much bigger story is in a GQ profile, Tiffany Haddish shares that she was at a party and an actress who she will not name bit Beyonce in the face. Bit Beyonce's face.
What?
She didn't see the exact moment happen, but so she goes up to the bar later and Beyonce's there and she's like, Beyonce.
Someone bit my face.
Did that girl bite you? Did it really happen? And she says, yes. And this is where I'm going to do a direct quote from the GQ article. Did she really bite you? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, she going to get her ass beat tonight. And she was like, Tiffany, no, don't do that. The bitch is on drugs. She's not even drunk. The bitch is on drugs. She's not like that all the time. Just chill. And then, and so she airs that.
Also, quick sidebar, as GQ, I guess it's hard though. Like, what is the-
not going to put that in your story? That's an incredible tidbit. And also like, kind of like what we're saying, that tells you a lot about Tiffany Haddish, the way she just sort of opens up, and that says a lot. And for Beyonce, who's one of the most tight-lipped celebrities, you've got to run with it. It's the most, the clickbait on it alone is incredible.
That's true. That's true. I guess my question is like, is GQ not worried about their own liability?
I mean, did they call to fact check? They must have fact checked it. They wouldn't have run the story if they didn't fact check it.
Yeah, I guess my thing here is I get why Beyonce would be annoyed by that, but also I don't feel like the culpability is solely Tiffany Haddish's.
No, I agree.
But anyway.
It later comes out that it's the actress Sanaa Lathan. Yes, that bit her in the face.
Wait.
Who, if I were Sanaa Lathan, I would be pissed.
What?
Yes.
I had to Google her to confirm that she was.
To confirm that, yes. Yes.
Why did someone asked her about it and then she was like, who was it? And
Tiffany was like, I don't quite know how. I just know that at some point it got confirmed. I think like people, the internet had a field day with this and did some investigating. A few weeks later, Beyonce released a new song that said in the lyrics, at one point she raps, if they're trying to party with the queen, they're going to have to sign a non-disclosure.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes,
and
yes.
That line is about Tiffany Haddish. And like, Tiffany Haddish like retweeted when that song came out, like, yes, I will sign a non-disclosure. Like,
still no. She's like, okay, queen, whatever you want.
And I think in interviews since, she's like, I'm not talking about that. Like, I think she learned her lesson.
Yeah.
But also, she's so messy. And Beyonce is the opposite of messy.
Yes.
Like, is the most put together person maybe on the face of the earth.
I read this article about her archivist. Beyonce is the most, whenever Homecoming came out,
mm-hmm.
like 2 years ago, maybe there was an article in like Rolling Stone, maybe about Beyonce's archivist who there's like a library somewhere in Manhattan. That's just like wall to wall filing cabinets of photos and articles and video footage that Beyonce has taken throughout her career. And she is one of the artists like in the most control of her narrative because she's like, I own all this information. And so she's like, I keep track of it so that I say who I am.
She has really, we talk a lot about, it actually perfectly connects, Kara, but like the idea of memoirs are this chance to take control of your narrative. Beyonce doesn't need that because she has been controlling her narrative her entire life. And if she chooses to write a piece, it will be to say something beyond what she's already said. But she has so often created work that like speaks for her beliefs and her values. It's it's so interesting how put together and how thoughtful she is about every choice that she's made. Mm-hmm. And you can see the rare moments where there are slips. Like, that's part of why people are so fascinated with Solange and Jay-Z in the elevator video. Yes. Because it's like a moment into what their lives actually is.
Behind the curtain.
Yeah, it's...
That's fascinating.
And this is unrelated, but it's still my favorite tidbit in the world. When the lyric about Becky with the good hair came out, people confused Rachel Roy and Rachel Ray. And the Beehive went after Rachel Ray's Instagram. And it's my favorite thing that's ever happened.
I do remember that.
It was the best week on the internet.
Oh my God.
But Tiffany Haddish is so the opposite. She's so messy, but seems really comfortable with that. Like, I can't get over how comfortable she is just presenting the version of herself that she is. It really... I think we talk a lot about like cultural resets and like moments where the culture changes. Mm-hmm. Tiffany Haddish is a predecessor to the modern celebrity and a type of celebrity that is themselves the entire time.
Yes, 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 yes. A la Cardi B.
A la Cardi B. A lot of Black female rappers in particular mm-hmm. do this. Yep. Like this, and it makes sense because Black women are so oppressed and have been through so much, but to really like... completely control their narrative themselves, but in such a it's so interesting to have all these different conversations around ways you can control your narrative.
Totally.
And the like, I'm just going to be myself 100% of the time and what you get is what you get. Mm-hmm. And how there is such backlash to that, but then also there is equal backlash to, I have an archivist and I'm giving you a very clear presentation of myself, and people are looking for these authentic moments from Beyonce.
A tweet that I think about all the time is like, Ed Sheeran reveals that Beyonce changes her email address every week.
I bet you he didn't get it after that. He's done. He doesn't get any new emails.
And someone like quote tweeted the like TMZ article or whatever and was like, see, this is why we hate Ed Sheeran. We don't even want to know Beyonce uses email.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't. And I think all of those choices are acceptable. All of those choices people will have an opinion about. But whether you want to carefully craft a narrative or just be like, this is me, this is what I'm doing, this is what you get. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's also interesting. And to bring it back to the Jada Pinkett of it all, she has mostly crafted her own narrative. She comes from sort of like a different time in Hollywood and culture where you craft your narrative. And then all that kind of fell apart when somebody put her business out there and she had to veer the other way and be open and vulnerable and authentic in a really public space if she wanted to get people back on. Interested in what she had to say again.
And it's interesting to Tiffany Haddish and Beyonce, they're like almost the same age, whereas like they're very much of the same generation, whereas Jada Pinkett is of a is not maybe like another generation, but is like a little bit older. And
well, but Hollywood generations are so different, and like
very
even
true.
Though Beyonce and Tiffany Haddish are the same age, their sort of career starting points are very different.
Right. Beyonce started when she was so young.
It's interesting to talk about how celebrities choose to share information about themselves. Mm-hmm. And how someone who seemingly has been so open, like Tiffany Haddish, still has a lot she wants to share in a memoir. And I think that's really cool. Like, it's interesting the way that celebrities present themselves.
Agreed.
Which is kind of the thesis of the pod.
Yes. And Tiffany Haddish even says in like the kind of the final pages of this book, she's like, I didn't really intend to like talk about all this stuff about me growing up. She was like, I kind of wanted to write a funny book with like a lot of jokes and a lot of fun stories and a lot of like crazy things that have happened to me. And there is a lot of that in here, but a big chunk of the book also is about her difficulties growing up and her mentally ill mother and, like life in the foster care system. And she's like, I didn't really intend to talk about any of that stuff, but she was like, once I did, I realized that it was as important to my story as all of this other stuff. So
I love that.
She does have a ghostwriter. It's very much like in her voice.
It's great.
And there's also a lot of moments too, where like when she's describing a conversation with somebody, there'll be like a couple paragraphs of like leading up to the conversation. And then it will be like dialogue, like scripted.
Wow.
Like, Titus, colon, the thing he said. Tiffany, colon, the thing she said.
Wow. Love that.
which I think is cool.
I love anything that breaks from the form a little.
Yeah, it's fun. Kind of like how Mariah had song lyrics in hers that like related to the story she was telling. My 6 degrees is a fun one because it's not like project, project, project. It's like those weird like interstitial connections.
Great. I'm thrilled.
Okay. So folks, we're playing 6 degrees of Laura Bell Bundy, the game where we take the subject of this week's pod and see if we can get to, in 6 steps or less, star of mostly stage, Laura Bell Bundy.
Little Miss Woods, comma L. How are you getting us there?
So Tiffany Haddish was in Girls Trip with Queen Latifah. Queen Latifah, for a while, had her talk show, The Queen Latifah Show.
Yes. Honestly, underrated talk show.
Agreed. And a person who was a frequent guest star on that show in its short-lived run was Kristen Bell.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right? Kind of.
Yeah.
They also have an appearance together where they're a team on Celebrity Pyramid.
Okay.
So Queen Latifah, Kristen Bell, they tight. And Kristen Bell, of course, the star of the 2005 series Veronica Mars.
Yes.
On which Laura Bell Bundy guest starred for an episode.
Laura Bell Bundy really did book a lot more screen roles than I was aware of.
Yeah, that was one I had to dig. I was like, I wonder. I even Googled, are Laura Bell Bundy and Kristen Bell related? They're not, but.
Because of the Bell.
Yeah. Little Miss
Okay, hold Laura on. I know what I want to do.
Okay.
But I just have to figure out if I can connect these people.
Go for it.
Ho-ho-ho.
Oh, yes?
I got it. I'm ready. I don't know how many steps it is.
Okay. Hit me.
Okay. Tiffany Haddish was in Girls Trip with Grey's Anatomy's Kate Walsh.
I forgot Kate Walsh was the white bitch in that movie. Oh, my God.
I almost brought it up earlier, and I was like, I don't need to draw attention to the one white woman in Girls Trip like that. But we stan Kate Walsh, just not a lot of her recent career choices. What are you doing? Go back on Grey's Anatomy, because I can't do it anymore with the Umbrella Academy and the 13 Reasons Why and the Emily in Paris that the internet cares about, but I personally don't. Yeah.
She was in Emily in Paris?
Yeah. Apparently she's in a lot of the promo for it, but is only in like 2 episodes. So I don't know why she signed on to that. Who knows?
They were trying to get all the horny 30-year-olds to watch.
I mean, it would work.
It would work.
If I hadn't listened to multiple culture podcasts that told me that Kate Walsh wasn't in a lot of it, I would have watched it. Love me some Kate Walsh.
Oh, she's the best.
All right. So Tiffany Haddish is in Girls Trip with Kate Walsh. Kate Walsh is in Grey's Anatomy with Justin Chambers. Justin Chambers is in The Wedding Planner with Jennifer Lopez. Jennifer Lopez is in the film Second Act with Anna Lee Ashford. Anna Lee Ashford is in Legally Blonde with Laura Bell Bundy. I did it in 6.
You did. Whew,
okay.
Holy cow. I was only surprised at Justin Chambers because I was like, where is this going? Because I've never seen him in anything else.
The only other thing he's been in, it seems like he was very happy. He got a big check for a very long time. I was going to say RIP, but he's technically alive. But he decided to be done, or Shonda decided to be done with him. No one's sure which.
The second that somebody from Grey's writes a tell-all.
No matter what state Celebrity Book Club is in, we will come back for the Grey's Anatomy tell-all.
Oh, Hundo V. Hundo V.
There are some stories that keep this feed whenever we die down, because we'll still pop back up with some hits.
You know who's another messy bitch who we love? Ellen Pompeo.
Oh, Ellen Pompeo is so messy.
I don't see a lot of color here.
I'm not seeing enough color.
Yes!
I'm not seeing enough color. Yeah, messy bitch, though, who also, like, said that she couldn't be racist because of her black husband.
Yes.
But she's learned. People can change. She just probably should have apologized for that.
Yes.
She probably should take ownership of her mistakes. It's one thing to do the right thing now. It's another thing to apologize.
Agreed.
Oh, okay, Kara, how do we franchise this?
I just want to see Tiffany Haddish thrive in every media possible. Comedians, you know, are also good contenders for EGOTing because they can win a Grammy for a comedy album.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I would definitely love to see that for her. She could win an Emmy for The Last OG. I don't think the Emmys know that shows other than the Kaminsky Method exist.
God.
So I don't think that that's going to happen anytime soon. The Emmys don't know that Black people exist at all. So
the Emmys are a mess. They did slightly better this year, but
slightly.
But they still prefer a very particular type of experience. They still want Black misery. They don't want like the idea that Black people can have multiple stories is still so new to them.
Right. They're like, there's more than one Black show. Like what? I feel like that's what all of the 70-year-old white men see.
Yes.
The Emmy voters.
Here's what I want for Tiffany Haddish.
Tell us.
I want her to have a messy, raunchy talk show.
Oh.
Like maybe a late night HBO style, like let her interview people and say whatever she wants. And she could get wild stories out of people. Like they would get really comfortable with her.
Like a Watch What Happens Live style.
Yes. Oh my God. I would much rather have Watch What Happens Live with Tiffany Haddish. I think she needs her own thing, but yes, like,
yeah, not
but
that brand.
Yes. But yeah. I want, yeah. Her, but it's very similar, that style. Like people are comfortable, they're drinking, she's like playing games with them. She could get messy things to happen there.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else we need to say officially?
I don't think so. I feel good about this. This was a fun read.
Well, this was really great. Thank you, Kara.
Oh my God, thank you.
Don't forget to rate and review, and you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at CelebBookPod.
Carrie is on Twitter and Instagram at CFostTalksALot. That's the letter C, Fost, talks a lot.
You can find Kara at _KPRO. That's _KAYPRO.
Questions, comments, concerns, send us an email at celebritybookpod@gmail.com.
Tell us what you loved, what you hated, and what you want us to read next.
Thanks for listening. This has been Celebrity Book Club.